Welcome to In Depth with the Justice Department, sponsored by Technica Corporation and Juniper Networks, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now here's your host, Tom Temin.
The FBI has made improving IT infrastructure a major goal for itself, especially when it comes to adhering to the Federal Information Technology Acquisition Reform Act, or FITARA. The CIO empowering legislation also gave agencies a large to-do list. To see what step the FBI is on, Federal News Radio's Jason Miller spoke with the Bureau's Chief Information Officer, Gordon Bitko.
FITARA is an important piece of legislation. It standardizes and empowers the authority of CIOs for the enterprise, and that's something that we've really here recognized is important for a couple of main reasons. One is, as we move forward, the role of technology in our mission has continued to increase. Traditionally, we've done what we need to support the mission, to allow agents and analysts to do their jobs, but that's resulted in a proliferation of a lot of technology investments. Making sure that we do a good job of managing those, of doing that as efficiently and effectively as we can, which is a big part of what FITARA dictates for us, that's really helping us to think about the ways that we should manage those investments. Related to that, an important piece of this, obviously, is trying to stay on the cutting edge of technology inherently is a risky thing. All new technologies have risk to us internally to use. They have risk to us in order to understand how they impact our mission and the ability of our agents and analysts to understand the threats that they're combating every day. I think that putting a framework on our investments of thinking about them from a risk standpoint, which is something that FITARA also really emphasizes, is it really helps us to think about how do we manage those investments. I think that there's also been a couple of more tactical things that have really come out of FITARA and some of the other related initiatives. So the department, which you're probably aware of, has an overall effort to try to consolidate a lot of the major IT investments like data center. That's something that we've really paid close attention to. As with many other federal agencies over the years, we've built out the computing infrastructure that we needed, again, to support the mission. And at the time, it was what made sense. But now, as we try to impose more of an enterprise control on investments and more thinking about enterprise standards, and in the case of data centers, not only for the FBI, but for the whole Department of Justice, it's really helped us to take a look at those things from a true enterprise standpoint and understand that we'll have to make decisions that are aligned to the overall needs of the organization. So FITARA has really been a tool to help us think about those things and, like I said, to implement that sort of risk management framework and that sort of overall perspective of IT investment for the organization as a whole.
Now, I've talked to Joe Klimovich, the Department of Justice CIO, several times over the last year or more, and he's talked a lot about shared services. He talked a lot about really working together. One of the things that you brought up, and let me back up for a second, is this idea that over time, the FBI has been very mission-focused, and maybe some technology has popped up in those mission areas that maybe the CIO has or hasn't had enough oversight over or managed as well as that office could. Is that change because of FITARA already happening, where you're able to take hold of what some people call shadow IT?
Yeah, so first let me say that I don't like the language shadow IT. It gives the impression that there's something wrong with it, that people are trying to do it undercover. And I don't think that that's the case here. I think that it's mission-focused IT. It's agents and analysts doing things that they have to do for operational reasons to keep the country safe and secure. And we don't want to stop that, absolutely. But what we do want to do is enable them to be more efficient, to enable them to be more innovative, but to do it in ways that are also efficient and effective from the enterprise. What we found is many people in many different field offices solving a lot of the same problems and using technology as a driver to help that. And we're focused now on trying to still enable them to do those things, but to do it more effectively so that we don't have the same solutions coming in from multiple different parts of the organization, but we can focus on delivering the highest priority needs for the enterprise.
And I know one of the things about FITARA for a lot of CIOs that I've spoken with over the last year is this idea of separation of business, you know, IT from mission IT, where a lot of times the mission folks can still run the IT within the standards, but the business side is really where the duplication happens. Is that what you're seeing too, where a lot of the duplication, if you have a lot in the FBI, is in the business side versus the mission side?
I think we've actually been pretty good about having the major enterprise business systems be standardized over the last 10 or 15 years. We have put significant investment into consolidating and building out those things as enterprise platforms and as services to the whole enterprise, to your point from before about providing shared services. The mission side is not necessarily, I would say, duplication, but different people tackling their own local problems and coming up with similar solutions. So that's really where the focus on consolidation of effort is, I think, more fruitful for us.
It's interesting you talk about, you know, kind of people tackling similar problems or similar challenges. How are you working now with the mission side to ensure that they, as you said, still have that, if you will, some of that freedom to go and say, okay, this is what we need today to keep the country secure, yet do it within the bounds of the standards, the appropriate way, so there's not duplication and there's not, for instance, cyber concerns or duplication concerns?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And one of the focuses for our office is how do we continue to encourage and actually incentivize innovation in general, but at the same time do it in a framework that ensures we're doing things that meet our cyber security requirements, that meet our records management requirements, that meet our requirements to maintain the privacy and integrity of information that we collect for lawful purposes. One of the main ways that we're looking to do that moving forward is really leveraging the cloud services that are available, both in some of the private cloud solutions available for the government and public clouds when appropriate. Building those things out as frameworks, as templates, as tools, really helps with that. If I can go to a field office, to an agent or an analyst there and say, you don't have to build the entire infrastructure to meet your particular mission need of your investigation, you can just use the cloud and we'll give you the services that you need. And all you'll need to do on top of that is the very specific things that are unique to your investigation. That gets to exactly that point. It allows them to focus those resources on the innovative, unique thing they need, but to do it in a framework that we've got all the security controls and all the other things that I mentioned that we need and want from an enterprise standpoint.
And I think one thing about giving them that template, which then they can build on, also is a time saver as well, where the missionary doesn't have to go buy their own cloud services or their own servers to put in a data center. It's already there, and they can really just focus, as you said, on that application side. Are you starting to see that, or are you guys starting to move in that direction?
We are absolutely starting to move in that direction. We've been running a number of pilot activities to figure out how to do that in the most efficient way, but it's exactly what you said in the question, which is that what we want to do is be that time saver and make it efficient enough and make it a high quality enough service that people want to come to that enterprise cloud service to take advantage of all those benefits and to enable themselves to just really be operating at the leading edge, doing the mission-focused activity and not having to worry about doing procurement of a contract or licensing of services or any of the other things that you would ordinarily have to do.
Gordon Bitko is Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. I'm Tom Temin.
Is your agency's network staff bogged down with repetitive administrative tasks? Juniper Networks automation tools provide new levels of power over your network services while reducing operational costs. Experience the benefits of machine speed for higher efficiency, reduced strain on your network environment, and on your staff. Technica Corporation has the engineering expertise to customize Juniper automation solutions to meet your agency's needs. For more, visit technicacorp.com. That's technicacorp.com.
Gordon Bitko is Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller.
You brought up cloud. Let's talk a little bit about how the FBI is using the cloud. I imagine for a majority of what you're using some kind of private cloud or hybrid cloud where, you know, maybe it's a government only, but a commercial cloud. Give me a sense of where does cloud computing, those services fit in with FBI?
The answer to that, I think, is all of the above. We have a variety of mission needs and a variety of different operating environments, and so we will use a number of different cloud solutions that make the most sense given the particular needs of the users. A good example of that is on the law enforcement side. Our Criminal Justice Information Services Division, CJIS, supports something like 18,000 state and local partner agencies. So it's a huge number. But they're all law enforcement partners who access CJIS services today through the internet. So it makes sense there to use public cloud services where we can to facilitate the capabilities of those partners who were really critical partners to our mission. there's stuff that we do internally or for our own investigative purposes where we're going to have more of a private cloud solution or a hybrid solution because the sensitivity of the information is such that it doesn't make sense to use a public cloud. Fortunately, there are various private cloud options that we can take advantage of working with some of our partners as well.
One of the things about cloud is the whole FedRAMP and security. I know that the Justice Department is, along with, I think, Homeland Security Department and the Defense Department, are among the few that are looking at, for instance, the high baseline around FedRAMP, and we're actively waiting for it. Can you talk, generally speaking, do a lot of your cloud needs fall in that area of the high and medium-high baseline? Or, again, it spans the gamut as well?
I think it does span the gamut. You know, our systems and our data and our security requirements run the whole range. And like I said before, it really depends on who the users are. Are they partner agencies? Are they internal customers? I think we will span the gamut, and we will ultimately end up with some things that are FISMA high. We'll end up with some other cloud solutions that are more private in order to ensure we have more control over the entire posture of security for the solution.
Now, cloud falls into this kind of big bucket of what I'll call shared services. I know, as we talked about earlier, the Department of Justice CIO, Joe Klimovich, has been pushing shared services and really been a big proponent of it. Can you talk a little bit about how the FBI is starting to use some of those just department-wide shared services?
So there are certainly some shared services out of the department that we're looking at collaborating or working with them actively. The FBI is I think, the largest single component of the department in terms of IT. So the reality is, in a number of cases, we're actually the provider of that service to the rest of the department. I mentioned already before in the context of FITARA, the data center consolidation, where the department is doing a data center consolidation effort, and the majority of that activity, two-thirds of it, is FBI data centers being the home for that as a shared service to the rest of the department. There are some other areas where we are looking to take advantage of or to collaborate with Joe, with the department on shared services. There are also just realistically things, again, that the FBI mission is unique, and we're managing those ourselves or we're collaborating with other partner agencies outside the department.
Obviously, the benefits of shared services are clear, but from your perspective, just talk a little bit about how you see the value that the FBI would get from shared services.
There's definitely real value to shared services for the FBI in a number of ways. But the primary thing is that it really enables us to focus on the unique mission needs and be innovative there. As I was talking earlier, as we move into the cloud, but other shared services really enable the same thing. They enable us to leverage best practices and good solutions available from DOJ or from other partner agencies, DOD or Homeland Security or GSA or any other agencies. And we do that today and plan to do more and more of that as we move forward and enable us to focus our highest priority resources and investments on the things that add the most value to the mission, which is to really letting agents and analysts do their jobs more effectively. The more we can do that, the more that we can enable that to happen, the more we can try to keep up with the constantly evolving nature of the threat. And, you know, make no mistake about that, the capability of almost anybody that we're worried about today continues to grow exponentially, and that means that our capabilities have to grow to continue to keep up pace.
Gordon, this has been a fascinating conversation. We're just about out of time, but before I let you go, any other priorities, any other really things you're looking at to do for the FBI over the next, you know, 6 or 9 months?
The only other thing that I would mention, which I think any CIO needs to mention if they're being true to themselves, that's a priority, and it's not new, is obviously the importance of security for the organization, right? We are in an environment where there's a lot of real threats out there in the cyber arena, and the FBI is a popular target for those things. So we have to continue to stay on our toes and be vigilant and make sure that we're keeping up with the nature of those activities. But I think that's not new. That's not unique to us. Like I said, every CIO needs to be constantly aware of security issues and thinking about what they can do to keep their organization ahead of them.
Gordon Bitko is Chief Information Officer at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Find this entire interview on our website, federalnewsradio.com. I'm Tom Temin.
Is your agency's network staff bogged down with repetitive administrative tasks? Juniper Networks automation tools provide new levels of power over your network services while reducing operational costs. Experience the benefits of machine speed for higher efficiency, reduced strain on your network environment, and on your staff. Technica Corporation has the engineering expertise to customize Juniper automation solutions to meet your agency's needs. For more, visit technicacorp.com. That's technicacorp.com.
Encryption is a hot-button issue in the ongoing debate about privacy and the federal government's access to secured communications. While the use of encryption enhances privacy and cybersecurity, it's created problems for federal investigators pursuing criminal and counterterrorism cases. James Baker, the FBI's general counsel, spoke at a panel discussion about encryption and law enforcement access to communications and data. It took place at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The FBI supports strong encryption. We've said that before, we'll continue to say that, period, full stop. It is a huge benefit to society on a number of different levels with respect to commercial financial data, with respect to health data, with respect to personal information, with respect to national security and law enforcement data that needs to be protected. So it has huge, huge benefits. But encryption also has costs. And I think we've talked a little bit about that, and it's something that we feel in the law enforcement and national security community on a regular basis, because it makes, for example, certain types of evidence and foreign intelligence information simply unavailable. It is just unavailable. We cannot get access to it. It also forces us into situations where we have to do other things to try to get at the same data. And so we will engage in riskier types of investigative activities that are riskier for the integrity of the investigation, for our investigators, for our human sources. We'll use other techniques maybe that are sensitive that we have to put at risk in certain situations. It's costlier, it slows us down. So it has all of these implications for investigations, which has real life impact on not only the country, but on the particular victims of the people that we're trying to stop and to thwart. So encryption poses real problems for us. It affects all levels of government, federal, state, local, foreign. It's around the world that this problem exists. It does impact both law enforcement and national security authorities. I've heard sometimes people say that this is less of a problem for national security authorities because of their capabilities and their resources and so on. But it is still a significant problem in the national security realm, and I think that's important to say on a regular basis. Just to give some folks some recent data that I think reflects one part only of the problem. So, for the time period from October to December of 2016, we had in devices that were brought to the FBI for forensic examination, either by federal, state, local authorities, they were brought to us in some fashion. The total number of devices that falls into that category is 2,870. And this is also the cases where we've actually been able to complete the forensic review. So 2,870. In those situations, we encountered passwords in 1,715 cases. So about 60% of the total number that had passwords. We were able to defeat the passwords in about 470 of those cases. But that left a total of 1,245 devices that we were not able to access. It is a significant problem to our investigators across the country when we can't get into those devices.
Under what conditions should law enforcement agencies and other agencies be able to get access? What of the three of you think drives demand for this product? And part of the reason I'm asking that is when the U.S. decided to release encryption from control at the end of the Clinton administration, very few people used it, right? Which was a blessing in some ways, but also a source of our problems in cybersecurity. What drives demand now? So Jim, do you want to start? We'll go down the other.
I don't really know, but I guess I would say a couple different things. One is obvious concerns, I think, about communications integrity and data safety, I guess you would say, seems to me. I think, though, a lot of people don't think about it. And so the one of the problems that we're facing now is that the end-to-end encryption, for example, let's say, or encryption of devices, is increasingly available by default. And it's done in a very high-quality way. I mean, I think that's one of the things that draws both good people and bad people to American companies is that we produce great products that are highly reliable and they work, right? And so, and they increasingly incorporate as part of them by default encryption. And that's one of the things that I think is driving up the volume that your average bad guy who's not particularly sophisticated can avail himself of high quality encryption. So that's part of our problem. The super sophisticated bad guys are always going to be able to find tools to try to thwart us. They think about it actively and they will endeavor to do that. And I mean that, you know, across the national security actors as well as in particular, child exploitation people. They are very sophisticated in terms of what they do. And so that's a big threat for us. But I think it's driven by a general, in terms of like the biggest drivers, I think it's a general desire for communication security, and then is this default problem that is, I think, just out there.
We're listening to James Baker, the FBI's general counsel, speaking at a panel discussion on encryption and lawful access to communications and data.
We met a lot with industry, and what we found was, as with foreign governments, a wide range of views. It would be very difficult to get consensus just among American companies. So what's the process here? Is it the Warner-McCall Commission? Is it something else? Is it a private group? What would you think is a good way to move forward?
So I'm not in a position to call for legislation or anything of that nature right now sitting here today, so that's just, I'm not able to do that. The concern I have about a commission or commissions being a potential way forward, while that may be beneficial in some respects, it's also going to take a long time to get them set up and then have them deliberate and then come up with the results. And I'm not sure that a commission is going to be able to come up with the kind of granular solutions, highly technical solutions probably, that need to be put in place to deal with this. In the meantime, technology is going to evolve. How the bad guys use technology is going and the different changes is going to evolve, and how we deal with them is going to evolve. And all that's going to be happening in real time as we go forward, no matter what Congress does.
That's James Baker, the FBI's general counsel, speaking at a panel discussion about encryption and law enforcement access to data. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to In Depth with the Justice Department, sponsored by Technica Corporation and Juniper Networks, here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Is your agency's network staff bogged down with repetitive administrative tasks? Juniper Networks automation tools provide new levels of power over your network services while reducing operational costs. Experience the benefits of machine speed for higher efficiency, reduced strain on your network environment, and on your staff. Technica Corporation has the engineering expertise to customize Juniper automation solutions to meet your agency's needs. For more, visit technicacorp.com. That's technicacorp.com.